Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'd like to thank you for coming back if you're a returning listener, and if you're a new listener, thanks for checking out the show. I really appreciate you giving the show a chance. I've been doing the podcast since 2008. And have several hundred loyal listeners, and I certainly appreciate that so much. I started the podcast kind of as a self-accountability type of thing with the distance running that I was doing, and I listened to some other podcasts, and I kind of liked the whole idea of talking about running a whole lot, and I felt like I kind of had something to say, so I started the show, and as a result, I have several hundred listeners, and I appreciate every single one of them. We'll do another listener shout-out, probably maybe around episode 250, just to kind of get an idea of some of the folks that listen to the show, because I don't run any reports or anything like that, or find out, you know, podcast is hosted by Podbean.com, a podcast hosting service. And you can have reports run, and they'll give you IP addresses from everywhere. You know, they'll map everything out for you. But I do this more as a hobby, so I'm not trying to necessarily target or market people. So that's why I do the listener shout-out, and I did that, I think, at episode 100. I did it at episode 200, and maybe I'll do it again at episode 250 since I'm not getting the shows out as often as I used to. But got a lot packed in this show. I've got some really cool audio clips with my good friend Lummix. We went on a training run together this past weekend, and I got some great audio clips from that, a little trip we took down to Charleston, South Carolina. I'll talk a little bit about the results of procrastinating to sign up for a race, and that's going to affect my upcoming weekend. I'm recording the show on Election Day of 2016, but most people will get this after the fact, and I'll have a little something to say about the election towards the end of the show, if I remember. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Piedmont 8-hour race, and I'll make an announcement in reference to that. I'll talk about Lummix's Stone Mill 50, got the audio clips, and I also want to do a plug for the DVD that I'm making available for free. This is the DVD movie I made of Ashland Tom's effort at the Pine Creek Challenge, which was a 100-mile race in Pennsylvania a couple weeks back. Tom was a DNF, but that's not really the whole story. There's a lot to – he made the 81.4 miles. I think it was 81.4. I know it was over 81. But it's a heck of a story, and it's a good video, and I'm making that available for free to any listener that wants that. You just shoot me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com. Give me your address where I can send it. It's not really something that I post on. I don't really post stuff, videos on YouTube or anything like that. It's kind of, I like to kind of make the interaction with getting this a little bit more, a little more private, I guess. But what I ask is that if you do get the DVD, and this is the honor system, that you make a donation to the Ashland Christian Emergency Services Agency, which is a nonprofit here in the center of the universe. And that's on the honor system, and I just send you that information with the DVD, and you decide whether you're going to make the donation or not. It's totally up to you. I don't really check behind. Generally, I've found that most runners are honest people, so they do it if they say they're going to do it. And I have gotten some thank you notes from the folks over at ACES in reference to getting donations from all over the world. So it's kind of cool. I've raised several hundred dollars. It's not a regular thing that I do. It's just whenever I do make a DVD of an ultra marathon, I like to make it available to the listeners, and then as a result, I just request that they consider making the donation. And then we got a little bit of the email bag towards the end of the show, and I think we'll have a pretty good podcast for this time around. I was hoping to get another one out in October, but you know, just things are so busy. My daughter is involved with the marching band at her high school. And that is a very busy activity. If anybody out there's ever had children that do that, it's a lot of fun, but it is a lot of work. And this is even, and we don't even live that far from the high school. I can only imagine what it's like for people who don't live close to the school. Where we live in Hanover County, Ashland is a town in Hanover County, which is kind of a rectangular shaped county that kind of tilts down to the right, and then Ashland will be right in the middle. And Interstate 95 kind of goes right through the middle of the county. And to the there's four high schools in the county, and three of them are in the East End, and then there's only one that's out west. So there are some people that live pretty far. We're fortunate that we live close enough so we can cart her back and forth because she doesn't drive yet. I'm actually looking forward to when she can drive because then she can get herself to some of these rehearsals and stuff. But October was just so busy with that. I work a second job, so the weekends get at least one day on the weekends, 2 to 3 weekends out of the month. I'm tied up all day. So it's just a busy month. So I was hoping to get a third show out in October. But I didn't, so here I am, Election Day 2016. This coming weekend is the Richmond Marathon. This is America's friendliest marathon. And I have been involved one way or the other with the Richmond Marathon since 2006. That was my first marathon 10 years ago. And I would have loved to do it again here 10 years later. However, it was just too hot for me to train this summer. So I abandoned the idea of doing a fall marathon. Even though somehow I managed to do a 50K back in the first month of August. I'm not really sure how I did that because it was so hot. It was just too much going on for me to get all these training runs in. So I abandoned the idea of doing the fall marathon for Richmond. I've got something else planned that I'll talk about. I'll announce that here in a second. I decided, what I'll do is I'll do the half again this year, the Richmond Half Marathon, like I did last year. And I had a great race last year. I ran a lot faster than I thought I would. I think I ran, I can't remember what I ran. I think I ran 208, something like that. I think it was 208, which was a really, really good finishing time for me in the half marathon. Compare that to what I usually run the Patrick Henry half when it's, usually 120 degrees outside with 100% humidity. Like 220, 225, 221. I think I've run like 221 and was several years in a row. So the Richmond half was very attractive. And Ashlyn, Brian, and I had decided that we were going to do that together because Tom is again pacing the full marathon in the 415 group. And I've kind of ridden down with Tom the last couple of years, and then my wife will come pick me up or I'll get a ride back with somebody else. So Brian and I are kind of, each week we're meeting up with Tom. We're doing our training runs on Saturday mornings, and we're talking about doing the half. And, week goes by. And then finally, we start, I guess we better register for the race. And so I go on the website. And the reason I was kind of holding off is because I had looked at the website at one point in time, and I knew I think I had until like mid-October, and it was still at $65 or something like that. And I don't know why I was thinking that. I think I misread the website. I just felt like I had more time, and I looked at it. And I kept saying, oh, I'll do it. Another week goes by, I'll do it. I gotta get registered. Well, then when I finally got serious and I sat down with my credit card in front of the computer to enter the data and register, it was $105. And I just thought, man, no. The Richmond Marathon is a great event. It really is. But for the level of training that I had, I was not going to pay $105 and go out there and really suck at it. So I talked to Brian about it, and I said, look, man, that's a little steep for me for just a half marathon. I'm all about the medal. I'm all about the shirt. But $105 is just a lot of money for a couple hours of recreation. And I just didn't feel like it was I'm not really sure how to explain it. I felt like I didn't really do $105 training effort, so I just didn't feel like it was appropriate to sign up for that. So that was the problem with procrastination. I think if we had gone a lot earlier to the website and signed up, it would have been a lot less. And I probably would have even considered, $70 or something like that. But $105, it was just, I don't know why these things get to be, I don't know why they up the price so much. I know they want to get people to sign up because they want that money ahead of time. But that actually served as a deterrent for me to sign up for the race for the half marathon. Now, I did sign up for the 8K, which is just shy of 5 miles. So Brian and I are going to do the 8K on Saturday, November 12th. And the reason I had to do something is because we have, at our house, we have a party after the marathon. There were several years in a row where we had a lot of people here in the center of the universe that were kind of in our friends group that ran the marathon or the half marathon or did something or the 8K or did something with the event down in downtown Richmond, because it is a real good event. And so we started having a party afterwards. And matter of fact, I think this might have started back in 2006 when I did the grassroots training with Team Incognito. And we all got together after the marathon. And it was brutal. It was brutal to go out when all you want to do is stay home and kind of wallow in your misery and your soreness, even though you did a great thing. I understand it is hard to go out, but we got lots of people to come over to the house, and we just started doing that year after year. Because like I said, one way or the other, I was always involved in Richmond. I've run the Richmond Marathon more than any others. I think I'm at 29 or 30 now. All marathons and ultras, not Richmond. And Richmond, I think, was my first. I know it was my first. I think it was my 10th. And I think I've done it. I think I've done it 4 times, if I'm not mistaken. So we have the party. So I had to do something. I got, because everybody wears their medal to the party, and so I have to have something to wear. And yes, Richmond does give out a medal for the 8K, which is pathetic that you get a medal if you can run 4. You don't even run 5 miles. It's 4.95. Last time I checked to see what that distance was. But Brian and I are going to do that together. We'll figure out a ride down with Tom. And I guess my wife will come pick us up when it's done. Everything finishes down on Browns Island on the James River. I don't know what the 8K course is, but I know that the way things finish, it goes down the hill on the Browns Island. I don't really like the steep finish, but I do, at least now I know what to expect. And yes, we're going to do the 8K. That's kind of the consolation prize for the training. Like I said, Tom is going to be pacing the 4:15 group. I do happen to know that he says he's going to struggle a little bit. I think he got a 20 miler in last Saturday while I was out of town. I'll have to check in with him and just kind of check in with him overall, see how he's prepping for it. So that being said, after I just explained how I did not do a $105 training effort for the half marathon, would you believe I signed up and registered to run an 8-hour race the week after? So this is called the Piedmont 8-hour. And the cool thing about the Piedmont 8-hour run is that it's in in the newest state park in Virginia called Powhatan State Park. I have not been to that yet. I like timed races. I hadn't done one I think I did the Croatan 24 last year, the year before. I can't remember what year I did that. But the cool thing about timed races is that there's no finish line, and it's just messes with your head a little bit. This is for this event, you got 8 hours to run as much or as little as you want. It's a 2.85 mile loop. It's about 3 miles, is what the race director says here on the website, around the Cabin Trail and the Big Woods Trail on Powhatan State Park. It's a mix of open field running and trails inside the forest. The best thing about these events, in my opinion, is that you get to you come back through the start finish repeatedly, and you don't have to carry so much gear with you. I like that a lot. I don't like having to carry lots of stuff that rubs around my waist, around on my shoulders. And when you get out to some of these ultras, you see people carrying a whole lot of stuff. Even when there's aid stations that are relatively close to each other, they're still carrying all this gear. And I've tried to go as light as possible, maybe just a water bottle and a tiny little waist pouch. I've got this little waist pouch that fits right under my gut, and you can't even tell I got it on. I usually put a goo or two goos in there. I keep my S-caps in there. If I run with a cell phone, I can slide that in there, and it fits so snug, it doesn't bounce around or anything, doesn't rub. So the 8-hour race, you have your own gear. You don't even really need a crew. You can just go down there and do it because all your stuff's close by. You can set up your little camp area. Tom and I are going to go down there and start the race together. My goal is to get to the marathon distance, 26.2. That's about 9 loops through that course. So I'm just hoping for good weather. I don't think it's going to really be too hard to do that. When you have 8 hours to cover that distance, there's really no point in, because I'm not, there's no point in over in you know, overextend myself, and I'm not down there to try to win. I just want to get a finish and salvage kind of this crazy summer and fall. Although I've already done two ultras this year, so I don't really know why I have this desire to have a third finish. I don't know. I guess because it's there. Last year they had 29 finishers. The race is only in its second year. So it's a relatively small event, which I'm looking forward to. And what you get on these loop courses, because I've done them before, is you see the same people, and you can continue conversations or initiate conversations and then continue them later as you see different folks, as opposed to people being stretched out over a point-to-point over 30 miles where you're only going to see the people that you pass or people that pass you, and you might not see them again. And I was looking through the list of finishers, and I did notice some names on there of some folks that I've run into before. So hopefully I'll see some people down there, make some new friends, and see some old friends. And that's called the Piedmont 8-Hour Run, which is November 19th, starting at 8 a.m., obviously finishing at 4 p.m. And it's not that far away, and this could very well be an event that I look at again if I have a good experience with it. And my thanks to Ashland Tom for letting me know about the race, and then encouraging me to sign up, because it was only $40. So you see how you get, and you probably get nothing. You know, there's no medal, no T-shirt or anything. That's how sometimes these ultras are. But I like the fact that it's kind of a no frills. I've been attracted to those types of events. I've talked about that before in the podcast. And I do like the larger ones too. Like Richmond might be probably the biggest marathon that I would run. You know, it's well under 10,000 for all the events. You know, half marathon. Well, I'm not sure. Might be over 10,000 with the half marathon. The half marathon, I think, has 7,000 or 8,000 people, but the Richmond Marathon only has a few thousand that run that, and that's kind of around my size of stuff. I'm not a big city guy when it comes to those real large marathons. Maybe someday, you know, when I don't know, I have to give that some more thought. Okay, so yeah, I'm not sure if this is gonna be 30 or 31 if I do finish. So we'll have to wait and see. I have to check my spreadsheet. I'm locked out of Marathon Maniacs right now because I haven't renewed my dues. So I can't get in there to look at my marathon spreadsheet. I'll have to renew my dues so I can get back on there. And sometimes I look at the forum on there. Haven't done that in a while. Some people are really into Marathon Maniacs, and there's like some fringe people like me. And my Maniac number is 1319. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Lummox's Stone Mill 50. The 50 miler that he's doing, which is this coming November, this coming Saturday, November 12th. It's near Gaithersburg, Maryland. Montgomery Village, Maryland is where the website says the start finish is at Stedwick Elementary School. Seneca Creek Greenway Trail. This is going to be Jim's first 50. He's done a handful of 50Ks, and I really wish I could be up there for him, but I'm, you know, already tied up with the 8K, and if we didn't have the marathon party, which is kind of a tradition now, then I would probably have just bypassed, skipped everything and gone up there to support him. The race doesn't allow any pacers, but you people can access the runner that they support several places along the course. It's got a 13-hour cutoff, which is going to be very good for Jim, being his first 50. It's primarily a single track course, a lot of stream crossings, and he says it could be muddy and wet weather. So hopefully it doesn't rain at all for him. That's next week, November 12th, starts at 6 a.m., and as a result of him signing up for this and training for it, we did get a chance to run together down in Charleston this past weekend. We did kind of a little bit of a reunion trip with my buddy Rob that lives in Charlotte. That's the guy I used to go visit when I did the Charlotte Ultra before that race was discontinued. And then Jim, also known as Lummox, and Rob, we're all three fraternity brothers from college. We all went to James Madison University here in Virginia, and I was a class of 91, so I've been out. This is my 25th year reunion this year. I didn't make homecoming this year because we had my parents' 50th anniversary festivities going on However, I've known those guys. We all were in the same fraternity in college, and we stayed close over the years. We all live in different cities now. But we do get together once a year with kind of a larger group. And then the three of us kind of have a – we do some other trips together. And so we've been talking for about 10 years about getting all the wives together. We're all married to the same woman we married initially. Everybody's married 20 years or more. And we chose Charleston, South Carolina to all meet up. And we flew down on a Friday, met up Friday afternoon, just had a great weekend. The weather was great. Well, a lot of good food down there. We took a carriage ride through the historic part of Charleston. Well, I guess a lot of it's historic, but it was through the real old section where some of the houses there were very old, several hundred years old. And then, of course, we toured Fort Sumter and went to a bunch of bars and restaurants and had a lot of oysters. But anyway, Sunday morning, Jim and I did a 10-mile run together, and we got to talk a little bit about his race and some of the things that he's encountered along the way in his training. And I got those audio clips right here, so let's take a listen.
I'm here with Lummix. We're down in the Charleston area. We're going to do 10 miles. It's kind of nice because with daylight savings time over.
10 miles, give or take.
Yeah, it's about... Oh, come on, man. So it's perfect weather. It's about 55 degrees. And Jim is like... I got these socks that have like the...
Trucker girl.
The trucker girl of the mud flaps of an 18-wheeler. I got socks that have that logo on them. They're called Hauling Ass Socks. So we're going to do 10 miles in 2 hours. You ready?
We're ready.
Let's go.
About 10 miles. I'll be all right.
Now we're coming up on the 1 mile mark. I'm on 10:17 mile. How's that pace, Jim?
That's pretty quick.
You want to slow it down a little bit?
Yeah, I usually do.
Well, we're going to walk now. That'll slow it down.
11 and a half pace.
So if you do that for the first 30,
yeah,
of your Ultra. Jim's running the Stone Mill 50 next weekend, so I'm asking him about it. And that's where in Maryland?
That's going to be near Frederick, Maryland, a place called Seneca State Park.
And what's the nature of the course?
It's like a lollipop.
Oh, okay.
So you run up the stem, run around the candy, and then run back down the stem.
How many times?
Just once.
Oh, just one time.
Yeah.
All right, so you put drop bags out on the candy part.
Yeah, 2 points. I think it's a 28
and
30-some mile mark.
So you going, what you were talking earlier about, trying to do 30 miles in 6.5 hours?
Yeah, well, that was my long run for the training.
Okay.
That I did, and I would manage to do it in just a little over six hours, about 6 hours and 9 minutes. So I figure if I can do that and take my time a little bit more, if I could do it in 6.5, I should probably be in pretty good shape.
Hey, what's the cutoff for this race?
13 hours.
Okay.
My goal is to finish in 12.
Of course.
As you can see, I'm, you know, not that competitive a guy.
So. All right, it's point we're running. Well, don't cut yourself short.
Yeah.
How do you measure yourself against other runners?
Oh, that was a tremendous slap.
By height? All right, so we're on our second mile, feeling good. It's beautiful down here. Actually, on the Isle of Palms. For some reason, I thought we were staying in the Kiowa Island. Got that all wrong. My wife's the one that arranged the trip. We're down here with some buddies from college days.
Down.
Yep. All right, we're coming up on 3. And we're going to ask Jim the cliche question. Well, tell me about your training. But I'm going to throw a little, because I know the answer to this, I'm throwing a little different question in. What did you experience during training that put a chink in the armor, so to speak?
Well, I know what you're getting at, Dave. I guess at the beginning of October, I fell on my boat and broke a rib like a dumbass.
It's a family show.
Sorry. I wasn't doing anything stupid. I just missed a stair and fell on my back. Ended up breaking a rib, bruising a few others. Got x-rays the next day because it was hurting so bad. So I missed one long run of 24 miles. I was scheduled to do 24 miles that weekend.
You were just doing one long run that weekend, or were you doing
No, I had the sandwich. I had the 24 and the 10 on Sunday. So I took a week off, and I think I was fortunate. The following week was a light week. I only had to do a 10 and an 8 on Saturday and Sunday, so I managed to do that.
Well, what did the doctor say, though? Did you go to the doctor?
Yeah, well, I asked my physician, and she said,
your wife?
It's going to hurt like hell.
Your wife?
No, I asked my general physician. My wife told me I shouldn't be running, but she was a little upset when I asked another doctor to.
So I was, you got a second opinion?
I was what they call forum shopping in the legal world. I was looking for the answer I wanted to hear. So she said it's going to take longer to heal, but she doesn't think I'm going to die. So I started running again, and what I found during my longer runs and my training is that the fact you can't breathe and your rib hurts so much, it takes your mind off the pain in your legs. So once I got over the not being able to breathe thing, I was able to continue. I got through my 30 mile, and then I fell again the following weekend after my 30 mile. I was doing starting out with a 20.
Oh God!
I tripped over a curb and landed on the other side.
Yeah, but it still had to hurt the bruised side.
No, it did. It actually didn't. Hurt the other side. It still hurts as I'm talking right now, but not too bad. So we'll see what happens around mile 40 of the race. I'll make it that far.
So next week, the 12th is the race. I don't know when I'll get the show out for production. Hopefully next week. So when you get past 50K, that'll be the new personal distance record, right?
Yes, yeah, it will be, yeah.
And you've done a handful of those?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to be turning around here shortly.
Got a 30-mile training run. I was supposed to do 31, but I cheated. I only did 30.
So. Oh, that's like the time I did 26 miles for my training run. And I just said, yeah, I'll stop there. There's no medal or T-shirt. Right. Why do an extra point, too? Yeah. I think you made the right choice. But I've had some listeners email me say, oh, I would have done it.
Yeah.
I would have gone farther.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll hear about that. The one thing
it's just personal choice.
The one thing about the training is you realize how easy 10 miles comes after you did 20, 25 the day before. I mean, it starts out hard, but it goes by so fast on those sandwiches.
That's called zombie running, right?
Yeah, I guess.
You just all of a sudden the miles go quicker. Well, I will assure you of one thing. I don't really give out unsolicited advice, but I will assure you that miles 40 to 48 or somewhere in there are some of the slowest fucking miles you're going to ever cover, because you're just like, why aren't they dropping?
Those are the forever miles.
And then you get close and then it starts pulling you in, man. And you probably have a different experience, but well, that's how it was for me.
I guess for me, on my first 50, it was in between 25 and 30. Or 25 and 27.
Okay. Just went slow.
Yeah.
Like drip, drip, drip.
That was the dark places. So in my mind, I'm thinking, well, you multiply that by two, and that's where the dark place is going to be for a 50 miler.
Gotcha.
It's going to be 6 miles or 8 miles instead of three or four. So see what happens. We'll give it the old college try.
I would expect nothing less. Alright. Okay, we're a little over halfway on the 10 miler. It's just an absolutely gorgeous morning down here on the East Coast. We just ran down to the beach and I had to go touch the water. It's about 60 degrees now.
And Dave literally ran down, bent down, and touched the water.
Then turned around and came back.
Around.
So, Jim was talking about how he started doing this regular 20-mile round trip running from his house in Savannah Park, Maryland, to Annapolis. So, obviously some listeners are going to be familiar with Annapolis. So, talk about that, what the route is, and then where's your turnaround spot in the gear that you carry.
Well, we live pretty close to the B&A Trail, which is a nice paved trail, pavement, not concrete, so it's a little softer. And that goes all the way from Baltimore to Annapolis.
That's the B&A Marathon path, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As the name suggests. So.
Oh, is this it? That was quick.
So I would start at my house, run down to my friend Jim LeClaire's house, actually, who lives in Annapolis. And I'd use his house as a turnaround.
Okay.
And there's a convenience store near his place, so I'd stop in and refill, and head on back to home. And what kind of boggles my mind is that I did that several weekends in a row. And that was only part of the training run. And having done several marathons in several consecutive weekends, it's just weird to me.
Well, what would you take out on a 20-miler?
Well,
you did those solo, right?
Yeah. I take my Camelback, a water bottle. I've got the lightest Camelback available. It's called a circuit.
You figured out how to make water lighter?
I did.
Wow.
I'm a genius. So it's 1.5 liters.
Wow.
It's only got two pockets. You can put water bottles in
on the front.
So I put my gear in those and that. And maybe something in my pocket. Got my iPod and I go.
Even in the rain?
You know, I was lucky. I only had one long training run. I wouldn't say long. It was only 10 miles in the rain. This entire period.
Well, good for you for running in the rain.
Yeah.
So what's the terrain? I know I've done the Annapolis 10 miles, so I know there's hills.
Yeah. Well, there's one big, you probably remember. You cross that bridge. It's called the Naval Academy Bridge. That's a nice, good, steady slope. And then it goes back up into a really hilly neighborhood, too. So, and that's all part of the Annapolis Half and Annapolis 10. So I usually try and run up the hill, and I'll walk down it.
Okay.
Because to me, it's a lot more painful to run down and stuff.
Yeah.
Just a pound. So, yeah, you have to do that bridge twice, and it's beautiful. You can stop at the top, look at all the other people having fun on their boats while you're suffering.
Well, you're one of those from time to time.
Yeah, from time to time.
Do you ever run with Jim LeClaire?
Yeah. Kind of seldom. He did he DNF'd at 100 in Virginia.
Old Dominion?
Yeah, no.
No, Grindstone.
Yeah. Yeah, it was during the hurricane.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to cancel it.
I heard a race report on Ultra Running Podcast, and it ran, yeah, poured the whole time, apparently.
Yeah, he said it was miserable, so he just ducked out at 50.
And give a little history on him. He ran the Baltimore Marathon with us back in
2006.
No,
2012.
12.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a heck of a race. Great finishing party. Remember, we didn't want to leave.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of soda.
Oh, let's just stay for one more beer.
One more soda.
All right.
Yeah, thank God my wife was patient with us back then.
Yeah, lots of angels out there. Oh, good morning again.
Good work.
Yeah. All right, we are just past 8 miles. And some reason on that last mile, Jim, I got pretty winded.
Well, that's because we're cooking.
And
I'm not used to running this fast.
Well, you can slow down. So 2 weeks from now, November 19th, I was just telling Jim I'm going to do the Piedmont 8-hour race, which is in Powhatan State Park, maybe an hour from where I live, the center of the universe. And I'm going to do that with Ashlyn Tom. And I saw the results from last year. There's a few people that will likely be out there again this year that I recognize the names. We'll see if they're there. And Jim and I got about two to go, a little less than two to go. This is our place up here, so we're going to go. Can you do the math on the hundredth of a mile?
We got a mile, exactly a mile and 3/4.
So what's that divided by two?
I can't 3/4 of a mile apiece, right? No.
No, that's so a mile and a half. You can't do public math either. There goes my theory. I mean, that proves my theory. All right, how many quarters is 1 3/4? That's 4 quarters plus that's 7 quarters.
7 quarters.
So what's that? So 3.5 over 4. Oh, God, what am I doing?
I can't figure it
out. All right, I think it's points.
You got your phone on you?
Yeah, but I can't get my phone out while I'm doing the podcast. All right, we'll do the phone. Let's just walk until we figure out this math. But by then, it's going to be something different, right?
No, it'll still be the same.
Okay, so what are you at now? 8 point what?
Well, no, you calculate from 8.25 because that's where we're going to end up.
Okay, so I got a calculator app on here.
So 7 quarters.
Well, first of all, I can't hit my passcode because my hands are so wet. Okay, so what is it?
7 quarters, right?
So
a mile and 3 quarters.
Well, what's 7 quarters?
A mile and 3 quarters.
7 divided by 4 equals 1.4. All right, so 1.4.
No, it's 1.75. 1.75 divided by 2.
I don't know if that's correct.
Yeah, because it's 1.75 miles that you got to run.
All right, first of all, I can't see anything. All right, 1.75?
Yeah.
Divided by 2?
Uh-huh.
0.875.
Okay, 0.875 plus 0.8, or I'm sorry, 0.875 rounded up to 0.88, right? 0.88 yeah. Plus 8.25 equals what?
Oh, shit, what is it?
0.88 plus 8.25 equals what?
All right, what's happening is the phone is all wet. Okay, so what is it?
8.25
plus
0.88.
9.13.
So that's where we turn around, 9.13.
Okay, so we're going to do that on yours.
Yeah, and then we'll have 10 miles.
I'm glad we got that settled.
And that last clip, I was actually laughing out loud when I was listening to it. Here I am when I'm sitting here producing the show. It's just, you can't do math while you're running out loud. And I even had a calculator on my phone, which you could hear, just nothing was working there. We did get to 10 miles. We went by Jim's watch because he was a little ahead of mine, and I was with him the whole time. So that's my practice, is if I'm running with somebody and their Garmin's ahead of mine and I'm with them the whole time, I say we go with theirs. I mean, 10 miles is 10 miles, right? What I was recommending to him after we finished was that he definitely get on a website that where he can print out a pace band that he can I think you can do them on marathonguide.com or paceband.com or something like that. Because what I do is when I do a 50 miler, I'll have all my splits for each mile on a kind of a rectangular piece of paper that I'll put packing tape on both sides. So I can, and then I'll tape it to my wrist and kind of like a bracelet next to my Garmin. So that way I can compare the mile time, and I'll mark the cutoffs on there also before I protect it with the tape. And that's what I recommended that he do. Because when you're out there after 20, 30 miles, your head just cannot figure out what you need to be at. You can't do the math. And people who run marathons or ultras who listen to the show are going to know that already. So I was giving that advice to Jim. I usually don't give out the unsolicited advice, but I want him to succeed. I want him to make the 13-hour cutoff. And there's some other hard cutoffs in there. I also was looking on the website, and I'm very excited that they're going to be posting updates for folks in the race. So they won't send out alerts, but they'll be posting it to their website. And I sure hope that they do it in a timely manner as opposed to, you know, like an hour delay, which is so disappointing when you're trying to follow somebody online. I've got, from listening to the podcast, you know, I've got friends all over the place, virtual friends, and people tell me they're doing races, and you know, I want to be able to know how they're doing. And sometimes you just don't get the alerts, or you get them after the fact, or it's so delayed that because I, you know, usually on the weekends I'm out and about doing something, and I want to know how people are doing. And just like when I do some kind of race where they're going to send out alerts, you know, I'll have my wife sign up for that, and that way she knows how I'm doing if she's not there. So Jim, looks like the Stone Mill 50 is going to have those. I'll be checking back. I'll be checking that website regularly next week as you're out there. And I really hope you make it, man. It's going to be a real hard thing, and nothing is guaranteed in this life except, living and breathing and dying. So I hope you make your 50-mile goal, certainly. Let's get to the email bag section of the show, and then we will talk a little bit about the election, just very, very little about the election. I'm not going to say much about it. Let's check out the email bag section of the show. All right, heard from Thomas Mueller down in North Carolina. I got a cool story. This is a cool story with Thomas. He is a professor at Appalachian State University, and my buddy Rob, who lives in Charlotte, who I went to Charleston with this past weekend, his son goes to Appalachian State, and he and Thomas met each other, and they were talking about the podcast down at Appalachian State. And Tom did a little figure it out for me. I was saying that I get about 300 listeners per show. And then he went to my website and he did some calculations and he figured out that I have an average of 738.58 listeners per show. That's looks like the website was showing 217 episodes, 160,000 plus downloads altogether, which averages out to 738.58. Listeners per show. So I wonder who the 0.58 is. I've always wondered when a person is represented as a fraction. Anyway, thanks Thomas for meeting up with Jack down there. It was really cool. I happened to talk to Rob this weekend about it, and Jack thought that was really cool. And that just makes the world a smaller place when it turns out somebody from your person that listens to the podcast ends up knowing somebody else that you know. I've had some of those circumstances over the years here and there, and usually shared those stories when I could. Also, thank you, Thomas, for the email. I appreciate you being a loyal listener as well. I heard from Sandy. She is suffered a little bit of a setback with an injury. She thinks she might have a tear of some tissue in their hip area, which is terrible because she's a very, very active runner. And she's got some very active dogs, which keep her very busy. So, Sandy, we're keeping our fingers crossed with you. I really do hope that you heal up fine. I've got a little bit of a problem with that. I was going to go up and visit Sandy in April. And I've got to let another listener, Marisa, know about this because I was going to visit her as well when I was up in Michigan. April 23rd of 2017, I was going to run a race called the Trail Marathon in not too far, I believe, from Ann Arbor up in Michigan. And I was keeping my fingers crossed that that would not conflict with my daughter's sacrament of confirmation that we have at church. Because that is generally held in May, at least it was last year, and I kind of figured they would be two separate things. Well, would you believe they're both on the same day? So, Sandy, it's with a sadness that I say I'm not going to be coming up for that specific race. However, I'm going to get on the internet and look for something else so I can. I still want to salvage a spring trip up there, and I'll have to check my schedule. Very disappointed that I can't do that specific race, but at the same time, it's really a no-brainer. I got to be present for my daughter, and I'm also going to be someone else's sponsor for that sacrament through our church. So that's what April 23rd is going to be. And so, Sandy, I hope that you get back to running real soon, because I know how much you I just know how much you hate being sedentary. So hopefully you heal up just fine. I heard from Down Under Dave, and this was the he's doing the race in Cambodia. That is coming up this month. He says that, hey, Dave, glad you looked up the Cambodia website. Eating turkey sounds good compared to the dread food I'll be consuming. That's right, his race is going to be, it's a multi-day race. It's going to be the same weekend of Thanksgiving here in the U.S. He said, happy Thanksgiving. I'll give you a brief race report when/if I come home is what he wrote. I thought that was really funny. David, I wish you the best with your race. And you do some pretty amazing things, and I can't wait to hear about it. And maybe we could even arrange an interview about that via Skype or some other application where we can talk over the internet. So give that some thought when you get back, if that's something that you might be interested in, because I would definitely be interested in interviewing about the multi-day event. And I heard from Ryan, and Ryan is, he lives in Canada. He's a member of the original Team Incognito before he moved to Canada. And Actually, he crewed for me during my first 50-miler when my feet were filleted. Ryan, you remember that? How everything was fun and games until I took my shoes off and we saw what my feet looked like, and then that's when the shit got real. So, anyway, he sent me a link to what's called the Quintuple Anvil Triathlon. It's 5 Ironman length races in 5 days. This is at Lake Anna State Park, which is less than an hour from this area. And he had asked me if I'd ever heard of this, and I had. And but the interesting thing about it is that I thought it was just a one-time thing. It was held earlier this month. This is truly insanity. And, you know, you think running 100 miles is crazy, or multi-day races is crazy. Someone who's going to do 5 triathlons and 5 Ironmans in 5 days is just pure sadism, in my opinion. So, but anyway, I do admire those that can finish it. And that was held earlier this month in Spotsylvania, and I went to look for some results, and it was hard to find the results. So I was just looking at the pictures in the New York Times article that he sent me of some of the people, and boy, they not too good. So anyway, Ryan, I appreciate you sending that along, and I appreciate you listening to the show and being a loyal listener, as always. And I'd like to thank everybody else for listening and downloading the show and coming along for some of the crazy antics that go on in the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. So here's going to be my little piece of election information here. Today's election day. I voted a couple weeks ago. I was able to, because of my profession as law enforcement, I'm able to vote ahead of time. And so I went ahead and did that. And of course, I held my nose and voted. And because both candidates are just kind of dreadful, I guess both are deplorable. But this is what I'm going to say. Regardless of the way you lean, whether you lean right or left, conservative or liberal, or if you're middle of the road, for the most part, there's two people to choose from in this election. Yeah, there's a third party, but the third party is just not going to garner the majority of any votes. And I'm saying that as a prediction. I guess like that could change. But one thing is for sure is that this country is a divided country when it comes to the way people think it should be led and managed and run. And that's a pretty disheartening thought when each presidential election comes along, half the people don't want the person who wins. And so I think it's interesting, especially for the last 8 years when the president has come on TV and he proclaims to speak for America, where he's only speaking for half the people that voted for him. And if you, and that's going to be, in my opinion, that's going to be the same way this time, whether Trump wins or Clinton wins. But one thing is for sure is that if Clinton does win, she's going to be the liar in chief. And if Trump wins, he's going to be the pervert in chief. So there you have it. And this is Ashland Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia. Reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids, and y'all have a good week.